Today on Calibrate Conversations, we're talking about the sex work industry and specifically the website OnlyFans. So what is OnlyFans? Let's dig right into it. OnlyFans is a website where people can create pornographic content and subscribers pay to view their channel. So it's really like the YouTube of pornography. It's self-published porn, and then the creators get a big cut of the money. So pornography serves as a form of sex work. Sex work, by definition, is the exchange of sexual services, performances, or products for money, material items, or access to social resources. The growth of OnlyFans specifically is just staggering. OnlyFans has an estimated 1.25 million daily active users. In 2020, the OnlyFans net revenue was $375 million, and just 2 years later, in 2022, it was up to $2.5 billion. It is a ginormous industry. I see people posting about OnlyFans about everywhere. But I want to share three truths about sex work. The first is this. People claim that OnlyFans and sex work in general is empowering. Feminists have always believed this and really preached this. They say it allows prostitutes to go into business for themselves and self-determination. I think the key word there is self-determination. When we turn to sin, we worship ourselves, finding our humanity from within. And in doing so, we reject the creator who made us in his image. Is sex work empowering to people? Absolutely not. It's abusive. It's degrading. God hates sexual perversion. In 1 Corinthians 5, Paul admonishes the church for tolerating sexual immorality within the church. Now, I do always like to point out, though, that Paul also went on to state that God will judge the world, and we're to judge and admonish the people within our church. That's who we have a responsibility over. And sometimes we get that backwards. We excuse the behavior within the church, and we admonish and we judge the world, where Paul is calling us to admonish and to kick out and some not even have fellowship with people who are committing these acts of debauchery within the church. In 1 Corinthians 5, he gave the example of the man who was sleeping with his father's wife, and he decried the fact that they were tolerating such behavior within inside the church. But it goes to show that God hates sexual perversion. God has standards for a reason, because he wants humans to flourish, and sexual perversion causes so much dysfunction in the world. We see the destruction from it everywhere around us, in our families and in our societies and in their own lives. So I would like to make a statement that sex workers aren't empowered, they are deceived. And it's not just the females. I see men in the dad groups I'm in on Facebook, which the dad groups are such a display of depravity sometimes. But I see men promoting their OnlyFans pages that they have with their wives together. And that is so degrading to marriage and the marriage bed. Many claim that people only do sex work when they're desperate and it provides for their needs. That's one reason why people have defended prostitution, is for desperate people. It helps them to survive. But God will always provide the needs of people without turning to sin. And we as Christians should be helping provide for those needs. We should be taking care of people who are struggling. We should be helping them live a better life. We should be loving them, caring for them. If they're truly in a situation of desperation, then we help them. And we should be helping take care of those needs. But it seems that many who are creating an OnlyFans page aren't doing it out of desperation. There's a teacher in Missouri who lost her job because she was on OnlyFans. She was fine with it because she was making more money from OnlyFans than she was teaching, and the world celebrated. She wasn't desperate. She was just deceived. recently at the Republican National Convention, one of the speakers was Amber Rose, who touted the fact that she was a model and an entrepreneur. And to her, modeling and entrepreneurship means her OnlyFans page. She was using her publicity from that speech to promote her OnlyFans page. And what a crazy world we're living in, where we, especially as the conservative political party, celebrates modeling and entrepreneurship in the form of producing pornography on this website, OnlyFans. I would call that a massive amount of deception. Secondly, all types of sex work helps drive human trafficking. I've shared before on the podcast about my anti-human trafficking work. Porn creates demand. Porn intensifies the lust in people's hearts. Porn numbs the conscience. Every time we give ourselves to sin, we further harden our hearts and numb our conscience even further. Much of the porn on the internet is created with people who are currently being trafficked. And it's so tragic that people are, you know, lusting after these images of many women who have been kidnapped and trafficked and are, you know, being abused. They're doing this against their will. And I think we can easily justify OnlyFans is probably being less on the side of human trafficking because it's people doing it under their own volition. But it's still oppressive to them for us to participate in their depravity. This secular world believes in freedom, the freedom in yourself. That's why they celebrate sex work, even though it causes direct harm to people, including to children. Recently, there's a California law they were trying to pass, which would have harsher penalties for sex trafficking of kids. It only applied to people trying to pay to have sex with minors. It was a bipartisan bill called SB 1414, and it would make it a felony offense for an adult to solicit or pay for sex from a minor. But there was pushback from it. And so let's watch this clip of someone giving pushback at this hearing for this bill.
We believe that SB 1414 takes an overly punitive approach that fails to address the root causes of these issues and will not effectively stop sexual violence. We are particularly concerned that the harsher penalties proposed in this bill will disproportionately impact marginalized communities, especially members of the LGBTQ community, who already suffer from systematic biases within the criminal justice system, particularly when it comes to sexually based offenses.
Okay, let's stop there. There's a lot more, but I don't think we need to see the rest of it. So what this lady was arguing was that harsher penalties for soliciting sex from a minor would be harmful towards, quote, marginalized communities. And whenever you hear the word marginalized community, it should cause a red flag. But it says it'll affect marginalized communities like the LGBTQ community and people of color. And so what she's really suggesting is that those people are more likely to commit these crimes. What a bizarre assertion. And maybe it's true, but then we should deal with the criminal who is soliciting sex from a minor. And so this is really where intersectionality gets us as a culture. And I don't talk about politics much, and this is about much more than politics, but it's what we're valuing. And we see this concept of intersectionality of where everyone is a victim. And we care more about an LGBTQ pedophile being protected from prison than we care about kids being protected from abuse. That's where intersectionality gets us. That's where critical race theory gets us. Is that everyone is a victim. And so we'll protect the victims, which is the LGBTQ community and people of color, before we protect our kids. That is absolute absurdity. And I see, I think that shows the idol of self-expression, the self-expression that you are your own God and you'll do anything to defend it. They'll do anything to defend this concept of I define myself. I can do whatever I want. That I am empowered, they say, by expressing my sexuality in any possible way. But lastly, I want to share this. Scripture gives a standard of what the body is to be used for. In 1 Corinthians 6, 11 to, 18 through 20, says flee from sexual immorality. Every other sin a person commits is outside the body, but the sexually immoral person sins against his own body. Or do you not know that the body is a temple of the Holy Spirit within you, whom you have from God? You are not your own, for you are bought with a price. So glorify God in your body. We know that there is hope, that Jesus can redeem and restore all things, including our depraved sexuality. Our body is a temple of him, and we are bought with a price. Jesus himself twice forgives women who committed sexual sin. Once in John 8:11, when he refuses to condemn an adulterous woman a mob was seeking to stone. But then again, when he meets with a Samaritan woman at Jacob's well and tells her that he's the Messiah who has been promised, but he not only loves and cares for her and offers her the living water, but he tells her to go and sin no more. He gives her a different alternative, this living water, so that she'll never thirst again. True freedom comes from surrendering to Jesus, from surrendering our bodies to him. A recent example of an OnlyFans model who gave her life to Jesus and repented is this lady named Nala Ray. And so I want to share this clip of her giving a warning to other women considering going into sex work or making pornography on OnlyFans.
Would love to help in any way that I could. But the biggest thing is like realizing that you will be going down a path that is something you cannot, you can't take back. And like the money should not be the drive at all. Like if you're looking for money, there are great jobs out there that you don't need a college education for. Going on live with TikTok. And that was the biggest point of me starting this agency with my husband is that I want to help other women who are like, I need to make some money. I'm thinking about only, you know, go live on TikTok. Like there are so many amazing things that our society has right now to utilize for making money that you don't need to go to school for. You don't need to work a 9-to-5 for. It is your own schedule, but there, it's not worth it. And if I could shake myself 5 years ago, I would absolutely shake her and just tell her how worth it she is. Cause I feel like these people, even considering going in, there's something going on in your heart and mind and your spirit that's like disturbed.
Yeah.
Or you're hurting, or you're insecure, or you're lost completely. And just, this looks easy. It's easy, but it's hard. The price you pay is not worth the money. It is not, because there was this moment I had in New York. I love New York, but I had just gone on a huge shopping spree when I was and I came back to my hotel room completely alone. And I had all this stuff around me. I sat on my bed. It was like looking out the window and it was dark out. I could not have felt more alone in my life. I was like looking at all this crap. And I was like, it brings me no joy. In the moment of purchasing it, I was like, little adrenaline rush, little dopamine high. But then I have it and it's nothing. It does not hug me. It does not hold me. It does not warm me.
It's often not even
love me.
Yeah.
Facts.
All right. I think we've seen enough. I love that testimony. She is doing some incredible work now. But as you heard her say, it is not worth it. It's not worth the cost that you pay. And this is someone who, she made like $9 million in her first year on OnlyFans. That's how many people are willing to pay for this type of content. But it's not worth it. There's such a grave cost. And at the end of the day, it brings loneliness and despair. And as she said, all these things she got from it, they don't hug you. They don't love you. It is absolutely damaging. And I feel like she really represents a lot of the modern world sex work. It's not what we think of as like old town in the saloons prostitution. It's a girl who gets on OnlyFans because she thinks it'll be some easy money and society celebrates that as freedom. And she can go out and buy all this stuff and she has fame and it's all for nothing. And so she is an example of showing the cost that we pay, but also that Jesus saves. It is damaging. It is harmful, but Jesus saves and he can redeem and restore. So we need to proclaim hope to a dying world that is both desperate and deceived. There's people doing this work out of desperation. I don't deny that, but most are doing it because they are deceived and they're finding their hope in something other than Christ. Their freedom can't come from within. It can only come from the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ. I always love ending with 1 Corinthians 6, verse 11, after Paul speaks of sexual depravity in so many ways and so many other sin issues. He says, "And such were some of you, but you are washed, you are sanctified, you are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and by the Spirit of our God." What a great hope we have in our Savior. And that is the hope that we need to be offering to a world that is desperate and deceived and trying to find their value everywhere except for Jesus. Thank you so much for listening to this episode of Calibrate Conversations. I pray that it's going throughout your week. You can also embrace God's standard for your sexuality and help people find hope, find freedom, restore people's hearts, offer the hope of Jesus to them. Make sure you subscribe to this channel if you haven't. Share with your friends. Go to calibrateministries.com for more resources. Thank you very much.